Dear Theophilus, in the first volume of this book, I wrote on everything that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he said goodbye to the apostles, the ones he had chosen through the Holy Spirit, and was taken up to heaven. After his death, he presented himself alive to them in many different settings over a period of 40 days. In face-to-face meetings, he talked to them about things concerning the kingdom of God. As they met and ate meals together, he told them that they were on no account to leave Jerusalem, but must wait for what the Father promised. The promise you heard from me, John baptized in water, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and soon. When they were together for the last time, they asked, Master, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Is this the time? He told them, you don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the world. These were his last words. As they watched, he was taken up and disappeared in a cloud. They stood there, staring into the empty sky. Suddenly, two men appeared in white robes. They said, "You Galileans, why do you just stand there looking up at an empty sky? This very Jesus who was taken up from among you to heaven will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left." So they left the mountain called Olives and returned to Jerusalem. It was a little over half a mile. They went to the upper room they had been using as a meeting place. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James. They agreed they were in this for good, completely together in prayer, women included, also Jesus' mother Mary and his brothers. During this time, Peter stood up in the company. There were about 120 of them in the room at the time, and he said, "Friends, long ago the Holy Spirit spoke through David regarding Judas, who became the guide to those who arrested Jesus. That scripture had to be fulfilled and now has been. Judas was one of us and had his assigned place in this ministry. As you know, he took the evil bribe money and he bought a small farm. There he came to a bad end, rupturing his belly and spilling his guts. Everybody in Jerusalem knows this by now. They call the place Murder Meadow. It's exactly what we find written in the Psalms, let his farm become haunted so no one can ever live there. And also what was written later, let someone else take over his post. So Judas must now be replaced. The replacement must come from the company of men who stayed together with us from the time Jesus was baptized by John up to the day of his ascension, designated along with us as a witness to his resurrection. They nominated two, Joseph Barsabbas, nicknamed Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, you, O God, know every one of us inside out. Make plain which of these two men you choose to take the place in this ministry and leadership that Judas threw away in order to go his own way. They then drew straws. Matthias won, and he was counted in with the 11 apostles. So that's the first chapter. Thanks, David. I recently heard someone say to me that they liked traditional church. Traditional church is actually seen here in the book of Acts. This is what the church should look like. I think that we here at Totnes United Free would all desire to be living out our faith just like the early church did, and being careful not to add or detract from what Jesus intended. However, we are all weak and fragile human beings. And as Jesus says in John 15, you can do nothing apart from me. So we really need to depend on the work of the Holy Spirit. because God also said in the book of Zechariah, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Now, this book has actually been called the Acts of the Apostles. That's not actually completely accurate, because the 12 apostles aren't actually mentioned too much in it. Peter's there, and John, and Philip, but more than half of the book is about Paul. And the book of Acts is a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. The final words of the Gospel are about Jesus ascending into heaven. And in the first verse of Acts, he begins, "In my first book, O Theophilus, I told you everything that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven." So he addresses the book to someone called Theophilus. It's not entirely clear who that man was. He may have been a Christian wanting instruction, or he may have been a Roman official being briefed by Luke about the Christian movement. However, the name Theophilus means lover of God. So I take it that that's you and me. So we can safely say that Luke wrote this book for us. And it's written to provide a history of the early church and how the gospel spread and all the mounting opposition to it as well. It covers about 30 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, and it just shows how they continued in his teaching and how they began to move in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So Luke reminds them here in chapter 1 and verse 4 that Jesus had commanded them they were to wait and not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends them the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And again in verse 8, he tells them they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, so they can be his witnesses in the world. And the second part of the chapter has this choosing of another apostle, a replacement for Judas. So this book shows us that God can do amazing things through ordinary people. What a great encouragement that is to us. It shows how he took a group of fishermen, common people, and he used them to turn the world upside down. It shows how he took a Christian-hating murderer, Paul, and changed him into history's greatest evangelist, the author of almost half the books in the New Testament. And God used the persecution the Christians endured to help this young church to expand rapidly. And he clearly showed that the gospel was not just for the Jewish people, but for absolutely everyone. Today, God is still turning lives around, and he's changing people's lives, just like in the book of Acts. And we get to be part of that. That is so exciting. Now, you know, all scripture isn't just for us to learn about the history and the academic side of it, but it's living and it's active, and it can speak to each one of us in our own situations right now, today. There's always a practical application. It's through scripture, through the word of God, that we hear God's voice and we're changed and we're challenged and we're blessed and healed and all sorts of other wonderful things. So the apostles, at the start of this book, they find themselves in a place of change, in a place of transition. Jesus had gone. They'd lived with him, they'd followed him, and now suddenly he's gone. And they're left thinking, what now? We feel lost. Does that sound familiar? I think that right now we find ourselves in exactly that situation, with Aid leaving. Now, not for one moment am I comparing Aid to Jesus. That is way above his pay grade. However, there are similarities. How did they feel? How do we feel? Where you are in all of this is where you are. And that's fine. We need to be honest with God and with ourselves about that. Might be because aid's gone, you feel a bit sad, a bit disappointed. You know, God loves to hear our prayers. He's the sort of God who listens to our huge prayers for the millions of people hungry and the wars in the world. And he equally loves us to pour out our hearts for the smallest things that are troubling us, even down to finding a car parking space. He's just that sort of God. So if you feel a bit sad or upset or let down, pour that out to the Lord and receive his comfort. We need each of us to work it through. Some of us cope with change and transition more easily than others. I'm sure that anyone who's in the workplace, as I remember too well, is very familiar with the concept of change and transition and how unsettling it can be. At work, for me, it seemed always that change was the one and only thing we could rely on. And in this situation that we find ourselves in right now, we need to first just lay down our grief or our feelings. We need to release aid to him with our blessing, because this is God's plan for aid and his family. And therefore, we can trust that God is already working behind the scenes to bring us, his chosen man or woman or couple, whoever it might be that he has for us in the future. Then we can accept where we are and we can begin to get excited about what the future holds for us here as we move through this transitional time. So if it's all upset you a bit, you're a bit fearful, I've got three truths or promises for you this morning. They're very simple. God is with you. God loves you. And God is for you. God is with us. God loves us. And God is for us. It can be hard to navigate through these times. We often have little idea of what the new beginning we're heading to is actually going to look like. It's uncomfortable. So we have to get used, first of all, to the losing and the letting go. And then moving into this time of waiting and praying. So getting back to our apostles in Acts, we see what they do. They stick together, they wait, and they pray. And that is surely our position right now. We need to be in prayer. As Aid said to us in his final words the other week, all this church needs is Jesus. So here are some truths to encourage us as we walk through this transition time. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Pastors come and go, but God will never leave us. Ephesians 1:11 says, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. So God is in control. Trust him. However, ministry must go on. The church mustn't scatter. They need to stay bound together. We need to stay bound together in unity and in love. Now, it's quite interesting because in the women's scripture group last term, we were studying the book of Joshua. And I'd been reading alongside this a book called The Joshua Generation, which I'm going to read a little bit from in a minute. But when Moses died, Joshua became the new leader. Little did we know as we were studying this book, us ladies, all last term, that we too would be facing a similar change. And I think it's time for us to be that Joshua generation. Not like the Israelites following Moses round and round in the desert, grumbling and complaining. We need to get ready to move forward. And we need to be praying even now for our new leader, whoever they are, our Joshua, the person who will follow on after Aid. I'm just going to read a short quote from this book. This chapter is entitled Destiny Marches On. And I just thought it was so apt, really. Leaders come and go, but the purpose, calling, and destiny of the church marches on. There is a purpose that is bigger and greater than any leader or group of leaders. Yes, we need leaders. We need authentic apostolic men and women who are fathers and mothers and lead us by example. We always need them. In the beginning of the book of Joshua, Moses, the great hero and leader, had died. And now the biggest challenge for Joshua had come. It was time for him to arise and take Moses' place. Joshua couldn't move out on Moses' revelation. Moses' revelation was yesterday's revelation. Joshua had to have a new and a fresh revelation that the Father had for him to move into. The book of Joshua is a picture of the rising of a modern-day company of men and women who will be carrying the cross and resurrection power of Christ. Their goal will be to take possession of the age-old foundations while conquering the strongholds of darkness. They will take back the things that have been stolen from us, like our true identity in Christ and our true destiny in his glory. It is time for us to possess the healing gifts of God, the power gifts that release signs and wonders, just like it was in the book of Acts. We need to see God's power multiplied on earth again, for God's people are arising, and we will demonstrate the glory of God and his power as we speak in his name. So this is not a time just for treading water. In the book The Hobbit, Gandalf says, "I'm looking for someone to share in an adventure I'm arranging, and it's very difficult to find anyone." And Bilbo replies to him, "I should think so in these parts. We are plain, quiet folk. We have no use for adventures. Nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things make you late for dinner." So right now, we are moving forward into a new adventure. And that depends on every single one of us in the family getting into God's presence daily. Maybe that's even a new adventure for you. We need to lay down our criticisms, our judging thoughts and gossip. And we need to be really obedient to the word that says, love one another. So ask yourself, how can I reach out this term? Lord, show me how I can bless someone, how we can grow stronger together, how I can stick closer to the Lord and keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'd like to share something that's very personal from this summer for me. The Lord challenged me at Revive this summer through a preach by Debbie Laycock. And the preach was about entering his rest. It was about rest. And as many of you know, I have health challenges that tire me out. And even Aid said to me that I was in the church, in the building, more days a week than he was. So I was very challenged by this preach to really look prayerfully at what I was doing so I could lay things down and continue well. So he showed me, God did show me one or two areas, an area I could lay down and another area I could delegate. And that freed me up a little bit more time. And then bang, Aid's leaving. So being on the prayer planning team, that meant immediately there would be other responsibilities to take on when I just managed to drop some things. But maybe that was a bit prophetic. And at that point, we went off for a week, the last week of the summer holidays, to Norfolk to see family up there. But it had been a very busy summer for me. We'd had son over from New Zealand, so Aid could marry him here. They were with us for about a month. It was great, good stuff, but tiring. In-laws from Hong Kong to entertain and show Devon to, and just general business. We left Aid and Vienne, his wife, at our home while we went off to Revive. And Revive, it rained, and the rain came sideways. And I got a really bad arthritic flare-up, and I was in a lot of pain. Didn't mind, because Debbie spoke to me through this preach, and we actually came home early. Then after that, we both got COVID, really bad COVID, terrible temperatures, really ill. We didn't go out of the house for a fortnight. And so it was at this point we then went just to spend the last week with family. So I think I was suffering from a bit of post-viral fatigue. And I don't know if anybody gets to that point where, you know, just keep it coming. I can't cope anymore. I'm at rock bottom. Well, we went to church in Norwich on this Sunday. And because I was tired, I was finding it hard to engage in the worship. Don't know if you find that if you come tired, sometimes it's hard to engage, isn't it? But I sort of pressed in. And I was just sitting listening to the preach, which was on John 15, about I am the vine, Jesus being the vine. And I was just talking to myself in my head like you do, saying, I just feel I'm at the end of myself. I can't cope anymore. And I feel like just uprooting from all the things I'm doing here. And it was just too much. Well, then this guy came up to the front. With a picture he believed was from God. And he gave this picture, and it was that he and his wife had planted an apple tree many, many years ago when they first moved in their house. And it's grown over the years. And every year, the wind has just made it lean a bit, and the next year lean a bit, and so on. Until last year, they'd come out and they'd found it more or less onto the ground. And he said, they looked at each other and the first thing they said was, I think we'll have to uproot this tree. Well, that was just the word I'd been using. So it sort of woke me up and I was listening. I was all ears. And he said, they decided that instead of uprooting it, they would build a little wooden support underneath it to support it and hold it up. And this guy said, that this season, that apple tree produced more fruit than it had ever done before. I felt, for me, that was God's word to me, to lean hard on his support. But I do also believe it's a word for us as a church. Now, this year has been a really tough year for us as a church family. We had dear Alex, age 58, die quite quickly and unexpectedly. We also had dear Jane die. Two women we both loved dearly, who were fully involved right up until their deaths in so many aspects of the church family here. I'm also aware that there's been very serious illness for some people this year. There's been accommodation problems and court cases and all sorts of difficult situations people have been going through. And also now we have Aid leaving. And I just think that as a church, I believe we're a bit like that apple tree. We're leaning right over under the onslaught of all the things that have happened. But as we lean hard on the Lord during this time, I do believe there will be more fruit than ever before. So, church, let's get excited about what lays ahead. Let's cling to the Lord and let's love each other in every way we can and keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's where we're changed. It's a time also to pray together, to pray in all the groups that we're in. It's a time to eat together. It's a time to be family, to share together, to build up stronger relationships with one another, to stretch ourselves and each other. It's a time to be kind to each other and a time to get close to the Lord. so that when we have a new leadership, we will be a body, a family, ready to be a blessing to that new person as we welcome them. So back to Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8. We will have power when we daily invite the Holy Spirit to come, to fill us again, to remember that we can do nothing apart from him. Let's be people who want to move forward in his love and his power and in the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength and with our own wills and desires. Now, Liz Gopal, she's not here this morning, she had a word recently about us walking in unity, in wisdom, and in discernment as we move forward. We really need those three things now: unity, wisdom, and discernment. Unity comes as we love one another deeply. We can have divine wisdom, as he promises us in James 1 and verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. And we can also have spiritual discernment as we seek the way ahead with the Lord. So this morning, I want us to finish by gathering into small groups. Church isn't an audience watching somebody. Church is family together, all getting involved. We all come together. So in a moment when I say, if you can turn around, get into groups, 3, 4, 5, 6, no more than that. You can just move and stand, or you can wiggle around where you are. It doesn't matter. And we're going to do exactly what the church did at the time of Acts, and that is to pray. So in our groups, let's pray for the trustees and the prayer planning team, that they will have unity and wisdom and discernment in the coming weeks and months. So that's one thing. Secondly, let's pray for the leader God's already earmarked for us, even though we don't know who that is yet. Let's pray for that person or people that God's preparing right now, that they will know his nudge, that word, that it's time for them to move out and into a new place. And as you gather in groups, if there is anyone in your group that needs prayer, please make that known. Somebody in the group will pray for you. I do believe it's quite important that some people do gather around Joel and Claire. Claire, who's been very ill, and they're seeking accommodation. They need our prayer. Wherever you are in a group, though, please just say. You don't need to do a long-winded story about what it's all about. We run out of time, but to have prayer. And when we come to the end, I will just draw us back together after about 5 minutes or so, okay? And then we will be having one final song. So it's time to move, to gather. Try and make sure nobody's left out and that everybody's included. And if you don't feel like praying out loud, that's fine. You can just sit and you can pray in your head and listen. So just gather in 3s, 4s, 5s, wherever you are. You can move the chairs if you want, or you can just stand up. That's fine. Now, has everybody got themselves into a group? Right. Okay. So let's pray for that unity, wisdom, and discernment as we go ahead. For the new person, whoever they might be, and also for one another, any needs you have, share them briefly so we can pray. And I'll draw us to close in a minute when we've finished. We can begin to draw our praying to a close. So, Father, as we bring our praying to a close, we thank you, Lord, that you hear every one of our prayers, that your ears are open and attentive to us. We thank you that you're a God who loves us to
loves us to pour our hearts out to you and to bring you all the concerns that we have. And we pray specifically for unity and for discernment. And Lord, we just thank you for where we are right now in you and in this situation. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. Amen. Now, if the band could come up, we're going to finish with a final song, but I want it to be a song of prayer, a prayer. I'll just get Paul to put the words up. It's a song we're familiar with. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. But I would like us to sing it a little differently. I would like us, as we stand in a moment now to sing, God, we look to you. We won't be overwhelmed. Give us vision to see things like you do. God, we look to you. You're where our help comes from. To make that our united prayer together this morning. So if you'd like to stand, I'll just hand back to the band for a moment.
God, we look to you, we won't be overwhelmed. Give us vision to see things like you do. God, we look to you, you're where our help comes from. Give us wisdom, you know just what to do. And we will love you,